And here we come to some material, chapter 11, we're just coming to the end of now of Isaiah, but it's familiar material. I think, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called out of Egypt, I called my son. That's quoted by Matthew in the Gospel when Jesus, Mary and Joseph take Jesus into Egypt, remember? It's a story. How much of it is historical, I wouldn't have the faintest idea. But it's going into Egypt, that is, belonging to us, like us in all things, experiencing, Paul even talks about the sinful flesh, our brokenness. So he's in, but he's calling his son out of Egypt. That's the text that it's quoting for. And the son in this case is Israel, the people. God is calling his people out of Egypt. Well, Jesus, incarnate, goes into Egypt. Whether he went into Egypt, physical Egypt, or whether he went into right into the middle of our human condition, but he led us like a new Moses, which is the point, of course, of Matthew chapter 1 and 2. He is the new Moses here, taking us on our journey of freedom to the promised land. You have to read the scriptures the way you look at a drama. You have to read them metaphorically, as well as across. So when Israel was a child, I loved him. Going back now to all you mums and dads, think of when your little children were children. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they strayed from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals. They kept getting God wrong. And they sent up their smoke of sacrifice to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms. They didn't know that I cared for them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like one who lifts an infant to his cheek. I bent down to him to feed him. That's come out of a man who's got children, doesn't it? A father who knows the feeling of a little child and so on. And all you dads would appreciate that. So, comment, he turns to the land of Egypt, but Assyria is his king. Oh no, so this is the text. He turns to the land of Egypt, but Assyria is his king, for they refuse to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests. It devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the high God they call, but he doesn't raise them up at all. And then comes one of the most moving scenes. God is saying, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma, one of the cities of the Dead Sea area? How can I treat you like Zeboim? We've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, these are similar from that terrific seismic thing that happened prehistory. How can I make you like that? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. He's been talking about his anger from chapter 1, but he's saying, I can't really do it. I mean, in other words, God's a real softy. He's trying to get him to change, trying to get us to change our behaviour, and he's threatening the prophet, but the prophet has a feeling, no, God isn't really like that. So he's on the way, do you know what I mean? He's on the way to Jesus, really. Come to me, all you labour, I'm a burden. I'll give you rest. You know, learn from me to be gentle and humble in heart. I mean, the God revealed by Jesus is revealed here in a glimmer. In the middle of all this, he's seeing through his culture and his cultural things, but not quite, but rather beautifully. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I won't execute my fierce anger. I won't again destroy Ephraim. That's the hill country where they are. For I'm God, I'm not a human being. I'm the Holy One in your midst. I will not come in wrath, in anger. They'll go after Yahweh, who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They'll come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I'll return them to their homes, says Yahweh. In the womb, Jacob tried to supplant his brother. You probably know the story, you can read it anyhow, of the two twins, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was born first of the twins. But when he came out, Jacob had him by the ankle. And Jacob spent his whole time trying to outwit him, which he did. And you know the story about the soup and all that. And his brother sold his birthright for a bit of soup. And so, and then he dressed up in his brother's hairy arms. You know, probably know those old, those lovely stories. So somehow or other, Jacob, the young one, took over. He shouldn't have been able to, but he did. And God had it planned that way. Well, in the womb, Jacob tried to supplant his brother. And in his manhood, he strove with God. Remember the scene at the Yarmouk River, where he comes in to this, and he fights with this mysterious creature during the night and gets him in a wrestle hold, but the spirits can't survive the day. So typically the spirit says, "You've got to let me go now because it's nearly dawn." So he ends up, and from then on he's got a limp because Israel means one who struggled with God. That's what the word, one of the meanings of the word. So Israel was the name given him, Jacob, because he struggles with God. So we should all struggle. Well, who is God? What is God about? Struggle with theology, struggle with the Bible, struggle to look for truth and all that. So in his manhood, he strove with God, who proved himself Lord and prevailed. He wept and sought his favour. God met Jacob at Bethel. Remember on the stone when he... and there he speaks with him, the ladder going between heaven and earth. Again, comes into John's Gospel. Jesus is the one on whom the angels coming down, etc. Yahweh, the God of hosts, Yahweh is his name. But as for you, return to your God, says Hosea. God, hold fast to covenant love and just judgments and wait continually upon your God. There's a lot of little verses in there you wouldn't want to forget. Wait continually on your God. I have been Yahweh, your God, ever since the land of Egypt. You know no God but me. Besides me, there is no Saviour. It was I who fed you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. When I fed them, they were satisfied. They were satisfied, their heart was proud, so they forgot me. And then another text from that same chapter 13. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? That's the underworld, Hades. Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where are your scourges? And this text is saying, bring them on. Bring them on. But you know where Paul quotes that in the talk about the resurrection, that chapter 15 of the book of Corinth to the Corinthians, first letter. And he says, death, where is your sting? It's gone. Because where resurrection has, God has defeated death in the resurrection of Jesus. So what's he doing? He's taking a text from Hosea, totally out of context, turning it on his head though, and seeing that the threat that's here in Hosea chapter 13 verse 14 has been overcome by Jesus. But it's consistent with Hosea's dream, what the last two chapters have been about, isn't it? It's kind of there, but it's going to the heart of the revelation, as Jesus did, rather than getting caught up in the limits of it. Oh, death, where are your plagues? Where is your stings? Sheol, where are your scourges? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. Return, O Israel, to Yahweh your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. Return to Yahweh. Say to him, will you not take away guilt? Accept the word. we offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride upon horses, which is their way of saying battle. Horse was the tank of the day. We won't ride, that's nothing to do with galloping around the paddock. Horses were used for as a war machine. We will not ride upon horses. We'll no longer say our God to the work of our hands. In you, the orphans find mercy. There you're at the heart of the religion of Israel. I will heal their disloyalty. I love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. And we conclude, I will be as dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, strike root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots will spread out, his beauty will be like the olive tree, his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They will again live beneath my shade. They will flourish as a garden. They will blossom like the vine. Can you see, this isn't a historical foresight. This is a statement of faith in God's fidelity. So he then, the imagery all flows out of that. Ephraim, what have you to do with idols? It is I who answer. It is I who look after you. I'm like an evergreen cypress. Your fruit comes from me. Jesus, I am the vine, you're the branches. Who is so wise as to understand these things, so discerning as to know them? Indeed, the ways of Yahweh are right. The upright walk in them, the rebellious stumble in them.